And so if you're part of the youth group, we'd like you to come tonight and just sit on the platform with the rest of your peers. And if you don't have anything to say tonight, that's okay. We just want us to gather together and do this together. So go ahead and come on up, guys. Go ahead and come on up. Even if you don't have anything to say, we'll still do this together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate our youth group. Amen. They're a great, great group of young people, and I'm proud of them and for what the Lord is doing in their lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who's going to start tonight? And then we'll just pass it on.
I had overheard these people talking, and they were having some sort of debate. And one side was saying, "There's no way. If you ask God for forgiveness, He can't just forgive you right there. That's not possible. It takes time. You have to keep praying, and you have to keep praying. There's no way He's just going to forgive you. It's not that easy. That's impossible." And then on the other side, they were saying, "All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. Genuinely ask Him for forgiveness. And right there, it's over. It's done. It's forgiven. There is no sin too big. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've come from. It doesn't matter. Right there, you ask Him for forgiveness, and it's done. And I'm so thankful that He died on the cross. That was possible. I'm so thankful for that.
I am thankful for the Lord for saving me, filling me with the Holy Ghost, and for a wonderful church family.
Thank God for saving me.
My then and there was last, like, two Wednesdays ago, and right over there filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I'm thankful for that.
The other day I was driving in my car and listening to the radio, and a song came on, going through, I don't want to go through the motions, I don't know what it's called. Something like that. And it said, "I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something." And it took me back to a time when I was like that. It was at Southern Ohio, I think it was 2 years ago, where I was at a place where I just felt so numb. And I was just up at the altar, everybody's crying, and I didn't feel anything. And I was just like, "God, I don't care what it is, I just seem to feel something right now." And He just came to me, and it was kind of like, you know what? He did die for me. In that moment, it was just made so real. And I'm thankful that we don't have to just go through the motions. It's not like I'm coming to church because that's what I do every Sunday and every Wednesday. But this is a relationship. And I'm so thankful that we can have, as the song says, the all-consuming passion inside of us. And I'm thankful that it's not just the motions.
When Brian said that we were going to testify tonight, my thoughts went back to, well, a week ago, the decision days, and I thought, you know, I don't want to testify about that, because it's one of those things that, you know, you think back on, and you're like, "Ah, that was so foolish of me, like, why did I think that?" But at decision days, going there, I knew that I was a little bit dry, and that, well, more than a little bit, but that I needed a touch. And when I got there Wednesday night, I went up to the altar, and I was kind of just like, "Well, if so-and-so prays for me, I know I can get a breakthrough. If Sister Brim comes and she touches me, and she, I know I can get one." And nobody came. Well, on Friday night, the choir got up to sing, and I stood up, and I was singing, and I was trying to raise my hands, get through the motions and everything. And God touched me, and He said, "I don't need them to come and touch you. I do not need them. I do not need them to give you a blessing. They are not any more powerful than you are. I am the one who is going to give you that blessing." And, you know, I didn't want to testify that because, you know, it just sounds silly. Like, how can another person come and touch you and get, like, but that's pretty much what I thought. And, you know, I know because I have had some circumstances where, like, people will testify, and I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's exactly how I am." But, you know, I want to thank God that there are testimonies, and I really enjoy hearing my fellow youth members testify, and it encourages me, and I want to thank the Lord that He is there and that He is giving us all testimonies, and I want to praise the Lord for that.
When that song was talking about no more walking on my own, no more facing life alone, I'm so thankful no matter what happens, I don't have to face it alone, and that He's always there for me.
I was thinking back about when Brother Spurlock at the winter warm-up was talking. That morning service, he was talking about, if this is what the world does, then I want to be weird. That was the theme of the service, I want to be weird. And I was thinking how, you know, you go in your schools, you go all around in the world, and the world's doing different things than what you're doing. And you feel like, man, I don't want to do what I'm used to at church because everyone's going to look down on me. Everyone's going to think I'm weird. But after that service, I really got to thinking, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It doesn't matter what the world does. I'm not part of the world. I'm part of God's kingdom. And I just thank God for putting Brother Spurlock in my life in that time and helping me through that time, and I want to thank God for him.
I'm just thankful that the Lord saved me and that no matter what I've done, He can forgive me.
In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord God, thy God, He is it that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And in that one part it says, "Fear not." Well, we're human. I get scared easily. Some of you guys know that. But we had a little episode a week ago tomorrow that I woke up and my littlest brother, 4 years old, couldn't breathe. And he was crooping really badly. And we had to call the emergency squad to take him to the hospital. And things turned out fine. They gave him an antibiotic and they helped him, to help him breathe. And they're sending him for a test to see about if he has something wrong with his lungs. And so I was so thankful that God helped him through that. And I was sitting on the couch this afternoon, and he came running and jumped in my arms and just like, "Miriam, hide me. My Bobby's after me." And I hold him close, and I thought, wow, if God wasn't there last Thursday, I probably wouldn't be able to be holding him. I'm so thankful that even though things come by and they scare us really bad, He's always there, and He's there, and He'll bring us through.
Hi. Well, as she had previously stated, Decision Days was this last week. It was in Missouri. I'm mistaking the boys' dorm smell. But on the way there, Brian had been preaching a revival in St. Louis in Illinois, and so Ryan Rice and I had gotten off and went with him to attend the service that he was preaching that night. And, you know, he kind of said it, you know, it was out in the country back part, so I wasn't really, you know, looking forward to much, you know, out in the country. And so we went back to the evangelist quarters to pack up for him, and so he was going to pray and prepare for service, and he had asked Ryan and I to pray with him. And at this time, I've been dealing with several struggles in my life, and I just kind of broke down trying to pray. I couldn't even pray at first, and I kind of broke down, and I went to him. And, you know, it was such a wonderful youth pastor. He sat there and talked to me, and it was such a great encouragement. And so I went to service that night, and I really realized sitting there in the pew and singing and just going along the regular service. You know, you guys ever heard the expression, I told Ryan this, you ever heard the expression, you know, once you hit rock bottom, there's only one way to go, it's up, right? No, it's false. And I proved that wrong, because there is one way, another way to go, and that's down. But the only way you can go down is if you dig yourself down. You know, the devil may push you down to the rock bottom, the devil may get you to that place, and it's up to you to either go up by asking God to help you up, or you're going to dig yourself a hole and keep continually going down. And that's what I was doing to my life. I was taking a shovel, and I was continually digging a hole straight down. And it wasn't helping me at all. And, you know, that night at the service, I prayed a lot. I thought, you know, maybe, you know, I just, you know, I repented. I prayed. But it didn't seem like it was enough. You know, I just don't know why. So, you know, I went ahead and I woke up the next day. And later on that service that night, you know, I prayed. And they were singing a song, and in the song it says, not going back. And, you know, I can't remember the rest of the song, but that part right there is what really got to me, because when they said not going back, and right there in the song, I knew that, you know, I fail and I struggle, and I may hit rock bottom, but I know I can't go back, because once you start this journey, there's no point in going back, because there's nothing to look forward to going back. I just want to praise Him for that.
I thank the Lord for never leaving me and always being there.
I thank the Lord for saving me and helping me through all the hard trials.
I'm glad to be here, glad to be saved, glad to know that, you know, I can sleep and not have to worry about where I'm going to go if I was to die or, you know, whatever.
I thank the Lord for saving and blessing me.
Last but not least. Okay, so if you don't know, I go to a public school, and 2 weeks ago on a Monday, I was sitting in my bedroom floor, and God just placed the burden. I can't even explain it. I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, that's all I could think about was school, and that I need to witness to somebody. And I went Thursday, and you know, I got shy, and then I went Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, and He's like, right there. He showed me the exact person. Right there. You need a witness to him. So I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey. And I witnessed to him. And they're just like, well, I can't pray now. That's awkward. I'm just like, no. I do it all the time. I pray through the hallway. You don't. And so we went to first period, and they gave their heart to the Lord. And I'm so blessed that no matter where you go, God's going to do a work.
Thank you, young people. You can be dismissed. Appreciate your testimonies tonight. Praise the Lord. Dismissed back to your pew. We're not done. Amen. Praise the Lord. My whole life, one of my most exciting things, or the things that I look forward to being a member of Union Road, has been Wednesday night testimony service. It's been a time where throughout the years there have been moments where, and some of our young people hit on this, and it may just be a youthful thing, but I don't think it is, where we get dry. There's moments spiritually where we need a fresh touch from the Lord. I remember several different moments throughout my youth when maybe Sister Vickers would testify, or Sister Harris, or Sister Brock, or Brother Wallace Bates, and Brother Combs, and just different ones throughout the years, and I'm sure many of you testified also, but it was an encouragement. The Bible said that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so I appreciate what the Lord is doing in our young people. It's a genuine walk, and you know that not everybody is a speaker in front of folks, and that's okay. Our greatest testimony will always be our lifestyle. And so I appreciate our young people, and so if you didn't say something tonight, that's all right. Just keep living for the Lord and let your life be that testimony that the world sees. And they're looking. And so I'm just thankful for our youth group tonight. And once again, I am so glad to have our teen class from the back up here with us tonight. I just appreciate y'all being here. And it's great. I want you to know how thankful Brother Brian is to have you guys here tonight. Amen. I'm going to preach for just a little while tonight. We're going to turn, if we can, to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. The book of Luke, chapter number 22. Begin reading in verse 39. As you're getting prepared for that text, go ahead and stand if you would tonight. I'm going to read some scriptures out of the book of Psalm, chapter number 40. It's a prophetic word the psalmist was inspired to write, speaking about the Christ. The book of Psalms, chapter 40 and verse 7 says, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." He said again, "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God." Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22. This will be our main text for the evening, verse 39. "And he came out and went, and he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Hallelujah. "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I'm so thankful the Savior prayed this prayer. Hallelujah. I'd like to just preach for a little while tonight on gleaning from the garden. Gleaning from the garden. We're entering into this wonderful week of reflection, a week of worship, the Easter season. And I'd like to just direct our thoughts to some principles I think the Lord showed us in His Word and how they can still apply to our hearts tonight. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray tonight, Lord, that You would minister to every individual that's here. If there's someone that's not saved, it's not a believer, I pray, Lord, that You would minister to them tonight, convict them of sin, convince them of Your righteousness, and Lord, call them to a place of repentance. Lord, I thank You for everyone that's here. I pray that You would minister to every believer. Father, encourage Your church tonight. Lord, may we leave this place thankful. Father, just thankful to know You
in a real and mighty way, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Gleaning from the garden. The Bible says he came to the Mount of Olives, the garden. His disciples followed him. And there it was that he took some time. And that last great moment before his trial and crucifixion, the Lord was set apart and began to have a conversation again with his Heavenly Father. It's an amazing thing, the doctrine of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. He was 100% God, Sister Rose, and yet in the fullness of God, he was 100% man. It's a hard thing for our humanity to grasp. We tend to, in terms of percentages, if you have 100% of something, it is theoretically impossible to have more than 100% and be full. If it goes beyond that, then it would be still 100%. It would just continue to add amongst itself. And yet God was completely man and completely God at the same time. His God nature inspired and revealed to him what he should face in those upcoming moments. It was just a few minutes beforehand where he told Peter that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. It was just a little while before this that he was sitting at the table and the Last Supper and giving the instructions and directions to the disciples and letting them know what they should do and what they should expect in the coming hours. It was just a little while before this time in the garden when Judas went out from amongst the 12 and being full of the devil laid down the life of Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And laid a plan before the religious leaders on how they should kill him. And yet here we find our Lord and Master, knowing what is about to befall him, knowing the things that are shortly to come, and the load and the pressures that shall be upon him. He finds himself once again at his Father's feet in prayer, in the garden, praying, God,